The British phone hacking scandal derails Rupert Murdoch's bid to buy a big British broadcaster.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Under pressure from all sides, Rupert Murdoch today abandoned one of the biggest business deals of his career, buying the largest TV broadcaster in the UK. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest on that evolving story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
It seems like every day the story just gets bigger and bigger and keeps moving, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's almost Shakespearean, the scale of it. The fate that's befallen Murdoch. I mean, remember Hamlet, when sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions.
Wow.
Murdoch's share price has slumped. He's had to shut down one of his more profitable British newspapers. And as you say today, ahead of a highly critical debate in Parliament, Murdoch dropped his bid for total control over B Sky B, the country's biggest commercial TV station. It's the speed of Murdoch's fall from grace that is so extraordinary. Roy Greenslade of City University likens it to the Arab Spring.
Within a week, rather like an Arab potentate, he has been dislodged and demonized, and the result is almost a kind of revolution against him and a revolution against the kind of media he stands for.
Stephen, how much will this damage his company, News Corp, and Rupert Murdoch specifically?
Well, his hold on power has undoubtedly been shaken. The company's share price has fallen 14% due to this crisis. Abandoning the B Sky P bid is a terrific blow. It's a hugely profitable company, and total ownership would have helped Murdoch focus News Corp even more closely on the real growth industry, TV and film, and further away from newspapers where revenues are declining.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Back here at home, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is testifying right now before the House Financial Services Committee. One of his regular hearings that he does before Congress about the economy and monetary policy.
Given the range of uncertainties about the strength of the recovery and prospects for inflation over the medium term, the Federal Reserve remains prepared to respond should economic developments indicate that an adjustment in the stance of monetary policy would be appropriate.
Translation, the Fed is getting ready to act if the economy gets any worse. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington with the latest on that. Hi, David.
Hey, Steve.
So at this point, we've got just terrible housing numbers and really lackluster unemployment numbers. What can the Fed do?
Well, look, even with all that bad news, interest rates are still pretty low, and economists would say that could be helpful because it could encourage businesses to spend money. Now, one of the ways the Fed has kept interest rates so low is through a monetary stimulus policy, a bond-buying program with an inscrutable name, Steve, called quantitative easing.
Yes, I've heard this name. All right, quantitative easing. I still don't know whether it's worked. A lot of people don't. And to be honest, I don't know completely what it was supposed to do.
We've had two rounds of quantitative easing so far. The last one got the nickname QE2.
Yeah.
Let me take another crack at explaining it. The Federal Reserve bought hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Treasury bonds, basically IOUs from the federal government that are considered pretty safe investments.
Okay.
And by buying those bonds, the Fed was theoretically trading them for cash, injecting dollar bills into the economy. It looks like there was some debate among Fed officials last month about whether or not they should do another round of quantitative easing, another round of bond buying. And I should say that at that meeting, they decided not to. So no QE3 for now, Steve.
No QE3. All right. But that really drives home the point, David, and the importance of the Federal Reserve, right, and the economy.
Well, that's right. Remember, the Fed has two big mandates, two objectives. One is to keep inflation down. The other mandate, the other objective, is to keep unemployment low. So I expect Chairman Bernanke is going to talk a lot about the job market. A finance professor at Baldwin Wallace College in Ohio, Kevin Jakes, says the Fed plays another important role.
The Federal Reserve is the organization inside the U.S. government which is trying to make sure that financial markets are operating in a stable fashion.
In other words, it's the lender of last resort to the financial system. And we certainly saw it really embrace that role during the financial crisis as it tried to prevent the financial system from collapsing, Steve.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
The market seemed to like what the Fed chair is having to say so far. Yeah, we're up right now by more than 1%. The Dow is up 147 points right now, 594. And the European shares were higher, too. Stocks in Asia were higher after China reported its economy grew by 9.5% last quarter. That's compared to U.S. GDP growth of 1.8%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The final Harry Potter movie opens in the U.S. on Friday. In France, it's been showing for a while, and Warner Brothers put on a special screening last night in Paris's biggest, or one of the biggest, concert halls there, delighting thousands of fans, but really upsetting the film industry in France. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
When you buy a ticket for the movies in France, you don't just get to see a film, you're also helping support the French film industry. That's because more than 10% of every ticket sold is a tax, money to be reinvested in the country's movie business. But only movie theatres pay the tax. Venues like the Bercy Concert Hall are exempt. So by holding the French premiere of Harry Potter there, the industry lost out on as much as $35,000 of funding. Michel Ferry is a film director and producer in France.
I mean, every single people in the chain would have benefited from it. It could be writers, could be directors, could be producers, could be theatre owners.
Ferry admits that $35,000 isn't a huge amount of money, but that it sets a dangerous precedent. It may be a concert hall for Harry Potter, but if you start showing films in stadiums or other venues where the industry doesn't get a cut, Ferry says it could undermine the future of movies in France. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, for all those who believe New York or London is the most expensive city in the world to live, well, you'd be wrong. New York came in at number 32 on a list compiled by the consultant firm Mercer Group. The most expensive city in the world, Luanda, Angola, where high inflation means a small two-bedroom apartment goes for the low, low price of $7,000 a month. Unfurnished, of course. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The economic story of China the past 20 years is growth, right? But if you look real close, there's this sneaking feeling there that any given moment, it can all go poof.
People who have been doing extremely well, who've got themselves a nice little apartment, who've got themselves a nice car, suddenly wake up tomorrow and their mum's had a stroke. There is no net.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What happens when? That's on our series, The 5-Year Plan, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.